Scattered throughout New Mexico, in cities like Santa Fe and Albuquerque, but also in small towns like Cordova, Las Trompas, and El Rito, are dozens of historic churches, adobe and stone structures dating back to the 19th, 18th, and 17th centuries, many of them in danger of collapse. A new nonprofit is helping to preserve these significant buildings, Nuevo México Profundo. I'm Spencer Beckwith, and with me at KUNM is its co-founder, writer and historian Frank Graziano. Frank, great to have you here.
Thank you so much.
In general, Frank, who is taking responsibility to care for these churches?
The situation in New Mexico is unique, because there are what are called mayordomos, church caretakers. This is an old Hispanic tradition. A family, or sometimes a single person, church appointed, will take responsibility for care of the church for a period of a year. There are very few people who are willing to do that now. So the same person, or the person's brother or sister or mother or cousin, will tend to do it in subsequent years. I'll use, for example, La Cueva, San Rafael and La Cueva in Mora County, three generations assuming responsibility for the maintenance of a church.
And where does the financial support for these people come from?
There is no financial support. So the mayordomos, and this is a critical point because it's contributing to the demise of the churches, the mayordomos, who often are poor themselves, assume the responsibility of raising funds for the maintenance of the church. On top of that, in Mora County, for example, this happened last year, the parishes, because the parishes themselves are in trouble financially, the parishes are displacing the cost of insurance to the village churches, to the mayordomos. So the mayordomos are raising funds for maintenance of the church, and now on top of it, they have to raise funds for the insurance in order to keep the church open, because the parish will close the church if the insurance isn't paid. So they hope on feast day in the collection to raise some money. They have raffles. They auction things. I'll just make one other quick comment on this point. One big help to those churches is Cornerstone's Community Partnership. And that's a nonprofit organization dedicated to the restoration of historic buildings, usually churches, but other historic buildings too, in New Mexico. So Cornerstones will sometimes raise money, or at least provide expertise and recruit labor for work on these churches. But with that exception of Cornerstones, the mayordomos are pretty much on their own.
So no state or federal money available for this kind of thing?
There's some. If people are prepared enough, astute enough, knowledgeable enough to apply for grants, there's some grant money out there, but on a competitive basis, and it's difficult to access. The Archdiocese puts no money into the mission churches. The state, to my knowledge, puts no money into the mission churches. So all the burden falls back on the community.
And as anybody who lives in New Mexico will know, adobe is very high maintenance.
Correct.
Every year.
Yes. And if you let it go, it deteriorates quickly. When I first started this project, I bought a guidebook to historic churches in northern New Mexico. The book was published in the 1990s, and when I started going out into the field to see these churches, I discovered that about a quarter of them had already fallen down between 1990 and now. And I think we're going to see repetition of that statistic in the next 20 or 30 years, unless there's some kind of serious intervention.
What kind of assistance can your nonprofit offer these churches?
First is we're trying to raise money that will help for the maintenance restoration of the churches. We're doing things like tours and concerts, which in themselves don't raise a lot of money. And the second part is to raise awareness with the hope that people would be able to donate money because they realize that these historic structures are in danger and might contribute to saving them.
At this point, I know, Frank, that you have three parishes that are participating in this program. What does that mean?
It means basically that they give their permission and then they facilitate. For example, for the tours, we're going on tours from the Santuario to Córdoba, Truchas, and Las Trampas. The mayordomos have to meet us there to open the doors at the church for the tour. So the participation in that case, for example, would be I contact the santuario, they contact the mayordomos and make sure everything's in place to receive the tour. One of the most complex parts of putting this program together was getting permission from the parishes to do things in their churches, tours, concerts, participation in general. So with the help of Rebecca Montoya, who's one of my co-conspirators in this project, she's a mayordoma in Mora. She knew some priests in Mora and Las Vegas, New Mexico, and she facilitated that permission. I knew Father Julio at the Santuario de Chimayo because I had interviewed him a few times for my book. And so, you know, I went and talked with him and got the permission for participation of that parish.
Is it your hope that the participation of these particular parishes will lead to further parishes?
Yes, absolutely. Part? And we've actually had some requests already from other parishes to participate.
Would you say that the major element of the way that you are assisting is financial?
It's financial. It's raising awareness with the hope of attracting more financial assistance. And there's one other factor I didn't mention I think is important. We're trying to diversify the uses of the churches because these churches, they're dark for 364 days a year. Some of them have two or three masses a year. But the church kind of sits in the community and isn't used. And that initiated the idea that perhaps the churches could be used for other things that would enhance the community. So that's another dimension of what we're trying to do.
And it's a great idea, though there might be opposition among the community members about
that.
Well,
we always have to be sure that we have community support before we do anything.
You mentioned that you were speaking to Father Julio for your most recent book, which is about Northern New Mexico's historic churches, published by Oxford University Press. Terrific book. You say that these churches are not just remnants of the past, but are important today as well.
I see them kind of as monuments that represent the intangible aspects of culture, the values, the traditions, the faith. And so if the building comes down, it finalizes the idea that these values, these traditions, this heritage is no longer important. In several communities, they're still active too. Even given the depopulation and the shrinking congregations, those churches are still active and vital.
I know that you have your doctorate in Latin American studies, and you've explored a lot of different areas within that, poetry of Latin America and so forth. What is it about the churches that has made you focus your attention on it now at this time in your life?
Pretty much from the beginning, I was fascinated by religious cultures. I'm not a religious person myself. I was raised a Catholic and brought up in a Catholic family. And I guess at points of my life, I was Catholic, but I'm not a religious person myself. But I'm fascinated by religious cultures. In New Mexico, when I first came here decades ago, I saw those churches. I was just fascinated by them. I was just attracted to them. And it's very interesting because compared to the missions in Arizona or in California or in Mexico, our churches here in New Mexico are very simple and fundamental and inelegant. But something about that gives them their charm. Their charm emerges from their simplicity and the way they're appendages to the earth, right? They kind of come out of the earth. I don't know. There's something special about the simplicity. So that's what initially attracted me. And then there's been so much written about the history of those churches and the architecture and the art history of those churches, but there's nothing written about what's happening at the churches now. And that's really what I wanted to do. I wanted to go into the communities, the villages, the pueblos, and talk to people about what's the situation at their church now? What are the themes now? So it began as a visual intrigue, and then it evolved into conversations in different villages to see what the story was and then try to consolidate that into a book.
Part of the fascination of the book is that you give the history as well so that people can put that present day experience of parishioners into perspective.
Yes, exactly.
In the long run, Frank, you know, 10, 20, 30 years from now, What needs to happen to ensure that these small churches, sometimes large churches, will still be surviving and thriving?
Young people who grow up in villages today, because it's no longer agricultural based, or it is no longer a subsistence economy, they're thinking, where's my future, right? Where's my job? In California, in Albuquerque? You have to maintain generation after generation the cultural practices, or they disappear. What you see happening in northern New Mexico rapidly is a dissolution of traditional culture. The churches are just part of that. The churches no longer have sufficient congregation to have masses, for example. So the parishes are insisting on centralization. In Mora, for example, there are 16 mission churches in one parish. So instead of the priest going to those 16 parishes and having mass, he's asking everyone to come to the main church in Mora. As soon as you do that, you accelerate the process of obsolescence, because now you're not even offering masses anymore in the church. Well-meaning in order to maintain a congregation, but at the same time, they're counterproductive because they're accelerating the demise of the churches.
Just playing the devil's advocate, the people in the communities don't particularly care about keeping these churches going. Why should we care, and why should we be supporting it if they've lost interest?
Well, that's a good question, right? I was in a meeting once, and we were asking permission to do an event at such and such a church. And the mayordomo of that church said, well, I'll have to check with the community. And the priest interrupted and he said, what do you mean, the community? As far as I know, there's only four people there. So I think that story obtains at other sites as well. There is, in effect, no more community. Or if you look at a place like Las Trampas, where the community has carefully maintained its church for centuries, now most of the community's old. The mayordomo passed away last year. He was over 80, and I live near there. I drive by. You could see him up on scaffolding in summer heat, putting mud on that church. Older people can only do that to a certain point, and the younger people are gone. So I guess the answer to your question is, if you look at these churches as part of the history of New Mexico, and some of them are in communities where there are no more people. So maybe you try to take some responsibility to do what you can to save them. That's kind of how I see it.
Historian Frank Graziano co-founded Nuevo Mexico Profundo, a nonprofit helping to maintain and restore the state's historic churches. Fundraising tours of three such churches will take place on July 13th. Details and more from Frank at KUNM.org. Wishing you the best of luck with this project, Frank.
Thank you so much.
For KUNM, I'm Spencer Beckwith.